Well, good evening, guys. How we doing?
Great.
We're finishing well. Tonight is the last study for Philippians, our last Wednesday night study for the year. Back in January coming up, we'll resume our usual Wednesday formats. More information to come on that. And we'll do this format again sometime in the future. You like this format?
Yeah.
It's been pretty good, hasn't it? Okay.
It's been awesome.
So let's pray. Father, we ask your blessings on your word and all the groups tonight. Father, that you would work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. But Father, that starts with knowing your will. And Father, may we grasp your will tonight and then seek you for how to apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says,
amen. Amen.
So I thought we'd do a little Philippians overview. How many of you have subheaders in your Bible? Like mine says greeting verses 1-2, and then I have thankfulness and prayer and so on and so forth. A lot of you have those kind. So I thought I would just follow the subheadings in my Bible and give you a couple of key words, and we'll end up on our verses at the end of Philippians chapter 4. So, and there's some words that are missing from the book of Philippians. Do you realize that? You know what words are missing? There's three very notable words that are missing. The word sin is missing from the book of Philippians. The word repent is missing from the book of Philippians. And judgment is missing from the book of Philippians. This truly is a letter written to thank a group, a body of Christ, for all that they've done for Paul. And to encourage them. I hope you've taken this study in that way. There are other books, though, that talk about sin and repentance and judgment, so don't think you're going to escape. Just, you know, we'll get to that sometime, and we probably already have. Following my chapter 1 is in verses 1-2, we have greetings. The key word there for me is bondservants. Doesn't call himself an apostle there, but a bondservant, the lowest form of servant. A man who wrote half the New Testament calls himself a bondservant. And the other key, that's in verse 1, the other key word is thanks. Thanks. And verses 1-3, we have thankfulness and prayer. Thankfulness and prayer in verses 3-11 of chapter 1. And the key word is fellowship. And that fellowship displayed. Fellowship is one thing. Fellowship displayed, what it looks like with each other. Okay, you can come to fellowship, but not fellowship. You could be like the old saying: you can be alone in a crowd, and but fellowship displayed, and that's in verses 8-11. So we have greetings, thankfulness, and prayer. In verses chapter 1, verses 12-18, we have Christ is preached. Christ is preached. And we have the phrase, preach Christ, three times in those verses, in 14, 15, 16, and 18. That makes four times, preach Christ, herald and proclaim Christ with your words and with your life. Do that. In chapter 1, verses 19-26, we have to live is Christ. To live, that's a subheading in my Bible. To live is Christ. And I have Christ magnified in verse 20. It's one thing to have Christ in you. It's another thing to what? To magnify him in your life. Christ magnified in verse 20 is my key words. In chapter 1, my next last subheading in chapter 1 in verses 27-30 is striving and suffering for Christ. Striving and suffering for Christ. And our flesh absolutely doesn't want to do either one of those. And I have the key words are believe and suffer for his sake. Believe and suffer for his sake. That's verse 29. So moving into chapter 2, in verses 1-4, I have unity through humility. Unity through humility. If we were a bunch of proud guys here, would we have unity amongst us? Chances are the answer would be absolutely not. But there's unity in humility. And the key words are in lowliness, esteem others better. That's verse 29. That's verse 3. In lowliness, esteem others better in verse 3. In verses 5 through 11, I have the subtitle, The Humbled and Exalted Christ. The Humbled and Exalted Christ. He humbled himself, verse 8, and then God, after he went through the cross and the burial, God highly exalted him in verse 9. And then in verses, chapter 2, verses 12 through 18, the subheading I have is light bearers, light bearers. And then the key words are in verse 15, shine as lights in the world, out there. It's one thing to shine in here, shine out there. And then chapter 2, 19 through 24, Timothy is commended, and probably the greatest thing Paul could say about him was in verse 20 that he was what? Like what? Like-minded. Okay. And then in 25 through 30 of chapter 2, we have Epaphroditus is praised. Epaphroditus is praised. And he is a fellow worker and soldier, a fellow soldier with Paul and with others. And that's Epaphroditus. Okay. Two men that you want to example yourself after. In chapter 3, we have verses 1 through 11, all for Christ, all for Christ. And the key words are in verse 8, all things lost for the knowledge of Christ. All things lost for the knowledge of Christ. Trading, would you trade the knowledge of Christ for everything that you've ever had in this earthly life? That's a question, huh? Okay. And then chapter 3, 12 through 16, pressing toward the goal. Pressing towards the goal. And the key words are in verse 14. Christ himself is the goal. Christ himself is the goal. As one man said, I don't want to go to heaven if he is not there. Chapter 3, 17 through 21, our citizenship in heaven. And then the key verses are, our citizenship is in heaven, and we are looking to there for our Savior to come, in verse 20. In verse 20, our key words. Chapter 4, we have chapter 4, 1 through 7, and I changed this the subheading to seven commands. Seven commands in verses 1 through 7. Stand fast, same mind, help others, rejoice, display gentleness, no anxiousness, and pray. Seven commands in verses 1 through 7. In verses 4, 8 through 9, meditate on these things, whatever's true, whatever's noble, just, pure, lovely, good reports, virtues, praiseworthy things, these things, all in verse 8, meditate on these things. In verses 4, 10 through 20, Philippian generosity. Your care has flourished again, verse 10, and no one gave but you, in verse 15. In verses 4, 21 through 23, the closing, and it's greetings and blessings. Greet every saint, verse 21, and grace be with you, verse 23. And no, is this not how we here at Calvary Castle Rock, we begin each service that we greet each other when we come here. And when we leave here, we say words to the effect of, may you have a grace-blessed week. Amen? Okay, so there's your simple overview on Philippians. And then our last verses are in Philippians 4, 10 through 23. 10 through 23. And Paul says this, for I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last, and it's not now at last, like at last you've come. It's not what it means here. It means that there has been a long period of time since he's heard from them. And he is like, this is really cool. I've heard from you. At last your care for me has flourished again. Their care for him has flourished again. Though you surely did care. In that long period of time where I didn't hear from you, not that he was seeking a gift or aid, but he said, you surely cared, but you lacked opportunity. Logistics were not right. There wasn't a way for you to get your care for me to me. I was on the move, or I was inaccessible, or there was no one coming this way. Logistics, you lacked opportunity. Verse 11, not that I speak in regards to need. You're not saying these things because he's speaking in regards to need. Did he have need? Yes, he did. Okay. And then he says, for I have learned. The word learned there means I have learned by experience. I have learned by experience. What did he learn? That whatever state I am, whatever state, whatever my earthly condition, wherever I am and whatever that condition looks like, I have learned through experience to be what? Content. What is the opposite of content? The opposite of content, according to Hebrews, is covetousness. If you covet more, and you call it need, you covet more, you will never have what? Content. You will not. And Paul in Colossians said that covetousness, unchecked, is idolatry. Idolatry. It's what you're worshiping. Okay? It's idolatry. And then he also says in 1 Timothy 6, so follow the train here, 1 Timothy 6:9, godliness with contentment is great gain. So you replace idolatry with what? Godliness. Godlikeness. That is true. So you get rid of your idolatry, your covetousness. Replace it with godliness. Contentment will follow through experience. And he says this, in case you're wondering, what was his experience in learning this? I know how to be abased and to live humbly, to live as the poorest of the poor. And I know how to abound, to live prosperously. Everywhere, that means every place, everywhere, it doesn't matter where, prison, in a house, on the side of the road, everywhere and in all things I have learned. Now, this word learned is different. This word learned means I have learned the secret. Wow. How many here want to know the secret? How many want to know the secret? It's a different word. The other one is experience. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And what's the secret? Verse 13. Somebody read it out loud, real loud.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
That's the secret. Now, the word through there is actually the preposition in, and we translate it in. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Through is not a bad translation, but get the picture. He's in Christ. Christ is in him who strengthens me. And that word strengthen means, and it's a combination of two words. It's a preposition in and dunamis. In dynamite. Inside of me, he strengthens me. Because no matter where he is, no matter what his circumstances are, that may change. But what doesn't change is the inward strength to do all things through Christ. And in this case, in the context, the to do is to what? To suffer need and to abound. And it takes a great deal of empowerment to be prosperous. Do you realize that? It takes a great deal of empowerment to remain content and not get covetous when you are prosperous. And it just the opposite is also true. It takes empowerment when you suffer need to also to be content. Okay. Nevertheless, you have done well that you have shared in my distress. Is he belittling his, is he ignoring the physical reality of his need? He's not. Okay. But he has with that distress, he has what? He has learned what? Contentment. Okay. He also understands the secret that I can do all things through in Christ who strengthens me. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I shared the gospel with you, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. And I believe he's referring to when he got to Corinth, and they had sent to him. He didn't ask, but he had sent, because he's trusting who? He's trusting in his heavenly Father. But you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessity. So how many times do we have here, we know of, the Philippian church had come to Paul's aid and to help meet his needs? Three times. Three times they have done so. Prior to this time, okay? Not that I seek a gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. He's bringing all this up because he wants fruit to go to their account. What account? In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, lay up your treasures where? In heaven. So what are they doing? The fruit that they're producing is treasures in heaven, okay? But I seek fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all, and I abound, and I am full. Whatever God sends your way, your faith says, that's what I needed. Whatever God sends to you to fulfill your needs, that means that's what you needed. But your flesh says, no, I needed more than that. Your covetousness may say, I wanted a lot more than that. But he says, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things that you sent me. And what he's saying to them is that whatever you sent me is sufficient. And it is, I am so grateful and I am so excited. He didn't say, you know what? That's $40 short of where I really need to be. And when I put that fundraiser thing on the ticker tape up on the TV and said, I'm not going to say another word until I get that phone rings and I get an additional. With that, that's not Paul. That was a guy named Gene Scott, by the way. And the things that you sent me, what were they? A sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to who? To God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. A couple of things he's saying here. One, he is saying this. You will never outgive God. What you gave was a sacrifice. And God will always supply your need, Philippians, even when you give sacrificially. He'll supply your need. That's his second secret, by the way. The first secret is what? I can do all things through Christ, in Christ who strengthens me. And the second one is, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. He does not want to give glory to who? Who's he not giving glory to? Philippians. Not giving glory to them. He's thanking them. He is grateful. We are to do that. We are to be grateful and thankful, but we're not to give glory to the instrument that God uses to give. And let me give you a suggestion. Jesus said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And many of you guys here give to other people in this body that have need. And the way you do it is a sweet aroma to God. You put it in an envelope, perhaps. You give it to somebody else to give to the person in need. Say, I don't want them to know who this came from, but just say it came from Jesus. And that's the way you do that. Then he gets all the what? All the honor and the glory, and you will have fruit that will abound to your account. Okay? And forever and ever, amen. Greet every saint in Christ. The brethren who are with me greet you. The brethren that are with me in house arrest, greet you. All the saints greet you, all the Roman church, but especially those who are of Caesar's household, his servants, the guards, the administration, whoever was there of Caesar's economy, they especially greet you. Okay? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.